What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Skitty babe, boop, bop, diggity, boom, bump, din, din.
Oh, man.
That was so good. That was one of the best.
It's all organic. I just didn't want to end it the same way other scats end, and maybe that's the problem.
It was incredible, and then you got in a fender bender right at the end.
That's okay.
It was like a gentle one at a stop sign.
You were moving along really well, and then
yeah,
it was over.
It just ended. Yeah. Well, you know, welcome in, welcome back, Spitballers Podcast, Andy, Mike, and Jason. Another episode of the award-winning show. Here we are. Al is here, the judge as well. We've got Liar Liar on the show today.
Yeah, we do.
And we don't really know what's going to happen because it's taken months, I think, for Al to recover from his defeat. If you look at the... Because we're, you know, we like numbers, we like data, we like information. If you look at the historical numbers in the most recent Liar Liar,
yeah,
we are undefeated.
Honestly, the last several weeks of recording, we have not lost once.
That's true.
So it's taken him a lot of time. And I'll just check in on you, mental health-wise. Are you at a point where you even want to move forward with Liar Liar, or is this over?
Oh, I'm good, man.
Oh, he thinks he's got this on lockdown because he's changing rules.
We got X Games mode coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing these rules, they have to do with this whole we can work together at some point strategy. I don't know. But we have Liar Liar today, so that's something to look forward to. We have Would You Rather, and we are drafting things that make you nervous. Things that make you nervous, so that should be pretty fun. As I was thinking through ideas right before the show, I was laughing to myself a little bit because I think there are a lot of things that are common to everybody, but then there are some that are maybe more
personal.
Personal, yeah,
sure.
or you know, different people, different things. So,
and it's incredible when you start thinking about it. There's a lot of small, like just really insignificant things that make you tilt your face off when it happens, and you're like. Look, I'm a grown man. Like, yeah. I'm nearly 40 years. Some of us on the show are already 40.
Some of them are.
I'm not going to name names.
Old people.
Because we're all about to be there. But, like, there's still things that make me have a full anxiety attack that should not happen to a grown human of any kind.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. Like, if you're nervous about something for enough years, that just becomes something you're always...
Yep.
And there are some things you grow out of. That you used to be nervous about.
Please let me know.
Like, I used to be a really nervous driver.
Really?
Because I got into, like, an accident.
Okay.
And then from that point on, it was just a different level of anxiety for many years.
I remember my first drive with my license. And
how fast were you going?
Speed.
12 miles an
speed
hour.
Speed limit.
Yeah.
The progression, I'm on my driving full bell curve of, like, when I got my license, I was by the book. Eventually, I got a little too comfortable with
you had the book thrown at
you. With my driving abilities, speeds reached a limit that they should definitely not have been, and I've calmed down. But I remember that my first drive where my parents were not in the car, and I'm talking out loud to myself like a crazy person.
Oh,
just,
yes.
Just like, we're good, Mike. And I'm like, I'm referring to myself in the third person. Like, it's okay. We can do this.
Oh, my
we're
gosh.
We're perfectly fine. Don't worry. And then I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, talking to other people on the road. It was very eventful. Like, I can tell you the exact route.
Yeah, I was going to say, you remember it.
Oh, yes.
And it's funny. I didn't even know Mike had a speed phase.
Oh, yeah. I
would have
either.
Imagined Mike was always a speed limit guy. Ever since I've known you, you've been a speed limit guy.
Yeah. Then the man.
Oh.
Sometimes the man catches you going a little too fast.
Okay.
And you pay that bill and you go, oh, I should.
I got to be a speed limit man.
That's not worth the extra couple seconds of time.
All right. Let's get into it.
Would you rather?
All right, we are into would you. We're into would you rather.
Okay,
Haven from the website. Would you rather have your butt crack be?
Oh, you've already got Andy.
Oh, it's just a funny premise. Would you would you rather have your butt crack be horizontal?
That's a mouth.
Or have your mouth be vertical?
It's your butt mouth.
That's what?
Oh, so you gotta flip. You gotta flip it.
You got a butt mouth and a mouth crack.
You gotta choose between having a vertical mouth.
Major problems here.
I mean, the vertical mouth, you would.
So it opens.
There's huge problems.
It opens sideways.
Huge problem because of gravity. Like, yeah. I see
gravity
Al
is the problem.
No, it is the problem. Al is over there, and he was pretending to have a vertical mouth just now. And no, gravity. Listen to me. Stay with me on this. Gravity is the problem.
Is it?
Yes, because food organically goes like on a fork, right? And you insert it into your mouth, and it's oriented to where the way you chew. Right? And so you chew and your teeth are in a motion that works with gravity.
Okay.
When you are sideways, imagine right now you turn your mouth sideways. When the food gets put into your mouth, it goes into your cheek. There aren't teeth. I mean, there's like kind of teeth there.
Right.
But they're not, tongue. Tongue is on the side. Your tongue is useless.
Wait, if you have a vertical mouth,
it's just getting turned sideways.
You're just doing a 90-degree turn.
Which side is it on?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's like lefties and righties. Yeah,
some are left-handed, some are right-handed.
When you're born, you look in the mouth, and they go, oh, he's a lefty.
Now, you know what you would
his tongue's on the left.
Probably have to do here when you're eating is turn your head to the side. Now, maybe this is an advantage. Maybe there's an advantage because I can lay down to eat. Like right now. The three of us cannot lay down and eat very comfortably.
Oh, that is a perfect example. If you lay down sideways on a couch
and
you try to eat a bowl of cereal, good luck.
Right, exactly. You try to eat a bowl of cereal laying down on the couch, doesn't work. However,
side mouth.
Move to a side mouth, and all of a sudden, you can lay down and eat.
Has this been a problem for you guys?
No, it's just...
if only I could eat cereal laying down.
It wouldn't be bad. I can't find one possible explanation as to why I'd want my butt crack to be horizontal. I can't imagine. There's no advantages to the vertical crack.
I disagree for two reasons. One is the shape of our toilets. The shape.
Would it really matter?
Well, to me, like
your center is going to be centered still.
The center will be centered.
The inside of that crack, my friend.
But I absolutely.
It's a circle.
I absolutely hate going to the old grandma's toilet that's a small little round toilet.
We have one
of
those.
The kid toilets.
Right. Yeah, that's now every toilet with a horizontal, because you're going long ways butt crack across the short ways toilet seat, so you're going to feel like it's a small toilet every single time.
That's not that big of a deal.
It's not nearly as big a deal as eating sideways. I'm just trying to say.
You're finding a way. Yeah.
Deals. But there's actually positives here.
I imagine if it's hold on for a second. I imagine if it's sideways, because let's be honest, and this is getting, I don't want to get too biological here, but like what is coming out?
Poop.
Yeah,
we can say poop.
Yes, poop is coming out, right. and it is again gravity playing a role in the equation.
Yes.
Now, right now, because of the orientation of the crack, you have it falling away from you.
Right.
Whereas if you just turned it sideways, there would be a ledge there potentially.
Okay. You would have
a smoogie ledge.
Smoogie? I was going to say a cheek lip.
Cheek lip is a better way to put it.
You got
to
kind of lean back.
So, you know, and
smoogie.
And some people have more of a lip than others.
Right. They got that badonkadonk junk in the trunk.
So I imagine those people, you could have a trap situation.
Yeah.
Oh no! What if you thought you went and you would just?
Oh, I don't think that's gonna
just put it in the trap.
You have a ghost poo and you're looking down. And you can't find it.
It's not in there.
And then you just saddle back up to get the pants on,
and you feel it.
You smoogie.
I cannot imagine that.
We're back. The show is back, baby.
Let's be honest here. The real issue is not gravity or smooge poops. The real issue here is one is not covered. Like, one is on my face,
yeah,
and the other is The only people that are going to see my horizontal butt crack.
I was like, how is your horizontal butt not covered? That's all I was thinking.
I want to remove that, though. Let's just say everyone goes, that's
humans. It's for all people.
Yeah, humanity now has vertical mouth.
Okay. All right. Well, now that makes this question actually debatable. Because if I can hide my horizontal butt cheeks and do cool party tricks for those who can see it. But if everybody has a horizontal mouth, then I think...
This is such a good question.
I'm not ashamed.
Vertical mouth.
Yes, a vertical mouth. Everyone.
We all have horizontal mouths.
But I'm not ashamed of my vertical mouth.
Right.
If everyone has it.
And imagine now I can trying lay to down fit in. Hey, guys. Turning sideways.
So now you're... I get like when I was thinking about it, like if your mouth is vertical, I was thinking of it as you still have an up and down chomping motion.
No.
It just opens up.
Mike, that's nonsense.
Yeah, I
apologize.
What a silly
that's
thought.
That's my bad, guys.
All right. Man, that does beg another obvious question, which is if you could move your digestive tract and to another part of your body, would there be a convenience factor there? Like, if you were to...
not following.
Yeah, the digestion or the exiting?
The exiting.
Okay.
Exiting, like, would you know, through the tip of the pinky.
Right, yeah, okay.
Or like elbow.
Or like your heel.
Foot. Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you do? Oh, and then it would just be built into the ground and you just put the foot out?
Yeah. Because you'd have a special boot. Mm-hmm. That you'd be able to, you just put your...
Oh, it's got like a trapdoor boot?
It's the poop boot, and you just put your foot in there. And then, like, you can have
there's a show title for you. The poop boot has just appeared.
I mean, assuming there wasn't, like, a pain problem.
Would you not have... I mean,
that
doesn't hurt sitting on it. It wouldn't hurt walking on it.
Because the trap is closed. Jesus, honestly, it's protecting itself.
You could have just completely... Like, bathrooms wouldn't even need to be private.
Right.
There's no butt involved.
You'll never know.
Everybody just opens their poop boot.
But that would become your private place.
Oh, because
you know what I mean. If everybody's pooping from their foot, they'd be like, "Don't you can't see my foot."
Oh, it'd be a private thing.
That would be my private.
I'm
foot.
Scared of the rest of this conversation. I think I might need to ask another question.
My last thought on getting back to the horizontal mouth is how small would our mouths be? Because right now I feel like there's a lot more room for a wide mouth. But, like, you can't go from chin to nose.
No, you could. That'd work.
No, I know, but I'm saying that's smaller than I think most people's mouth.
No.
You don't think so?
I can't see your chin.
Yeah, I got a beard cover up my neck.
So maybe you're right. I just don't know how strong your chin is.
I just measured, and Andy's right. This would not be a problem.
Okay.
We could
just measure.
We could pull off the vertical mouth.
The vert mouth.
And for that reason, I'm going to choose the horizontal butt cheeks.
All right. Stu from Twitter. Would you rather personally perform really well on a losing team or really bad on a winning team?
Oh, man.
You know, this is a crazy question to come up today. Because I was driving into work listening to sports radio, and a hockey player that was facing our home team had a hat trick, which is 3 goals in a game. And for some reason, that made me think about playing in our flag football leagues and the way you would feel when you had a special game. And you'd, you know, win or lose, you kind of have a sense of personal satisfaction. If you go out there and perform well or play well or have good numbers, good stats. So there is a pride that comes from just going out and doing your best.
And saying, it's not my fault.
Sure. I mean, I don't know if that's the headline, but the headline is I did my part.
Yeah, they didn't.
But the team.
Right, so it's not your fault.
Not your fault. You played pretty well. This says really well.
And to be clear, 100% of all athletes in every locker room in the world will tell you their personal stats don't matter and the team matters the most.
Yeah, there's a lot of liars.
And yet you know that it, you know, which one would you be? Which would you prefer?
Everyone is
performing bad on a winning team.
Yeah,
this is like, I didn't help at all.
Yeah, it's not average. It's not saying, would you rather be part of a winning team or dominate on a losing team?
So you're not a bench warmer. You're playing.
And terrible.
And you are playing bad.
Which means your teammates are really good because they're making up for a lot of your slack.
I am going to go with the performing well on a losing team.
I appreciate that honesty.
And that's not because I don't want to win, but that's because I'm not winning. That's why. I'm not winning. If I'm the bad player on the winning team, right. I'm not winning. After enough of those games, I know that I'm useless. So man. that would be feeling
I don't know if I appreciate that level of honesty.
Oh, okay.
That was so honest now, that you feel like you're not winning if your team isn't winning and you're not playing well.
Might as well be a fan.
You're not winning.
But winning teams go to the postseason, which means more games.
Ka-ching.
Means you make more money.
I mean, I know that those players that are on the end of the bench that get the rings in basketball are champions.
Yes.
But we know they're not.
Now,
we know they're not.
But do they think they are?
They get the ring. But then later on in life, when you're like, I'm a three-time champion, and how many minutes did you play? Same. None.
Yes.
How much do you need to participate then for you to move in from us as the Judgy Judgerson public saying, well, your ring is invalid, except they were they're at practice.
They're at practice.
They are a part of the team, helping the team to improve and get better, but they may not just be good enough compared to the other people on their team, especially like if you're thinking, you know, like basketball, like there's a few guys on basketball that just, they don't get into the game, but they are an important part of the team.
Yeah. They deserve a ring.
Okay.
And but they didn't actively perform bad, which is what the question says.
That is true.
You're saying they're helping.
So Mike brought up, you can make more money getting to the playoffs. Yeah, just, you know, your team's doing well. No, you got
to go through it all.
Absolutely. And the financial side, but I think the financial side is better to be a dominant player on a losing team. To stick with basketball, there are plenty of superstar players on bad teams.
If you
want to
go that route, fine.
I mean, being a superstar player on a bad team, I think that's the way I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Andy. We're going to have some bad teams.
Yeah, but we're going to be legends.
And I'm going to be competing as to who's scoring more, me or you?
Mike, final answer?
You gotta be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Lily?
I got to be able to look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah, I know it. Lily from Patreon, would you rather get $100 per fart for life?
Okay.
Or $300,000 per tooth you remove?
I remove?
Yeah, what's the story there? Is this just getting it out?
Yeah, you could have a dentist pull it for you.
So, man.
Well, how much does that cost?
But the caveat, it says you are unable to replace the removed tooth, and only the front 8 teeth are eligible. Oh. 4 on top and 4 on bottom.
So my good teeth.
Yep. The cosmetic teeth.
But you can't replace them.
Correct.
Oh, you're opening up a whole another world of me choosing the fart one. I mean, maybe. The truth is I'm not taking all 8 out. At $300K a pop.
Are you even taking one out? Yeah. I think that's a ton of money.
I think it'll become a thing if you do that one. That'll become how retired people end up retiring. They end up going, all right, it's time to retire. Pluck, 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 pluck.
Right.
Okay, you've got some years taken care of. Some people, they retire early, so they got to have all six or eight of them out.
I mean, that is really the first question on its own is just, would you take $300,000 to have a missing front 8 tooth, like one of your main visible teeth.
So that's what your incisors? Is that what we're?
Oh, right now. No, they're not incisors. I mean, they're not.
What are they?
I mean, they're your front teeth and your incisors.
They're not your bicuspids.
No, they're your front 8 teeth. that's how my dentist refers.
We got to look this up.
I'll give you a bottom tooth right now for $300,000.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, some people talk and their bottom teeth aren't even seen.
Right. If I lose a bottom tooth, you're never seeing my bottom teeth again. You know what I mean? I will talk in a different way or smile in a different way.
You can't do that.
Oh, absolutely I can.
Incisors, your 4 front teeth on the top and the bottom. Thank you.
Great job, Mike. Those are your incisors.
If you knew it, just say it, man. Don't question it.
But at that point, if you lose one of those, you got to lose all 4 bottoms. If you lose all 4 bottoms, because I'm not showing you my bottom teeth. You know what I mean? Like as soon as I've lost one, I'm going to be embarrassed and shy and try to hide it. And honestly, them having other teeth nearby might highlight the missing gap.
Hit the camera with a smile right now, Jay. I just want to.
Okay, your bottoms can go.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
Oh,
yes.
That's a $1.2 million.
$1.2 million to get rid of my bottom four teeth. Would you
do that today?
Or $5,000 a day.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We need to get back to the tooting that you can make some serious cash.
I can make some serious cash. I mean, what do I need more than $5,000 a day? Do I need more than $5,000 a day?
You might.
Are you hitting $5,000 a day?
Oh, I'm hitting $5,000 a day,
you're
brother.
Hitting 50. Wait, that's 50 farts?
Is that 50 farts?
That's 50 farts a day.
Oh, he's probably hitting 50.
I'm hitting
that's
50
so
farts.
That's so many farts.
Easy. And.
No, I'm not making that kind of money. I'm making like $300-$400 a day.
Now, can you, you know, I don't know how the rules work here, but once you got this contract signed, you know, sometimes you can turn. Like, when you got a big fart, you can turn that into 10 little farts. You know what I mean? Like, hey, that's a new one. I pitched that off.
if you're running.
Oh, yeah, when you're doing the walk farts, those are the best walk farts. Each step gets you a little bit more out.
What is the duration in between blasts that counts as a new tooth?
Contract signed. I mean,
it's going to be in the contract. There will be fine print.
If the trapdoor closes, it's a new fart.
There we go, baby.
If I can, I picture Jason getting home from the you know, grocery store. Six pack after six pack after six pack of A&W root beer. I mean, he is chugging that stuff, making his money, doing your part for your family.
I will eat so many beans.
But then, if you rip just a triumphant note, people are going to be shouting, "You're wasting money."
Yeah, I will be disappointed in myself at that point. I'll be like, "Oh, whoops!
$5,000 a day."
But I mean, think about that. Think about $5,000 a day. Which is very reasonable.
Dude, okay, what's the math?
240 days is all it takes to get to $1.2 million.
Okay, I got all my teeth
for Toots McGillicuddy over here. For the regular person, it's going to take some time. But
yeah, if you're going 300 or how many farts per day do you emit, dear friend?
The average human passes gas between 13 and 21 times per day.
So 1,300. That's 3 years to get to that amount of money.
Okay, that's easy.
Yeah.
So that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
And we haven't even factored in
the teeth are worth $1 million each now.
No. There's unless you're talking billions, unless you are giving me money that I can buy a ball team with, I don't need more.
It's a one done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying there's no amount that I would take losing my teeth versus this free money from farting. Because think about the amount. I mean, because
of what you need,
$1,300 a day, and that's only 13 farts, which is pretty embarrassing. If that's all you can fart a day, $1,300 a day is
that's just breakfast.
It's
time.
It's basically infinite money.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I mean, unless I'm trying to buy a yacht, you know, I'll save up for a while. But just normal
but
living,
don't save up.
Right? Yeah, you got to let them go. But yeah, I don't know how you could ever
this episode.
Have me remove my teeth, and we didn't even talk about the actual process of getting your tooth yanked out of your skull.
I just am curious about that general question, if it's $1 million, and you have the opportunity today, right now, let's put Al and the three of us in this situation.
Okay,
are the
tooths off the table?
The tooths are off the table. There's a totally separate dilemma.
Right.
The doorbell for our office rings.
Mm-hmm.
At the front is a well-to-do dentist.
I like him.
And he's got his bag. And he walks in and he says,
is he just chomping his clamps?
No.
So he's like, ching, ching.
No, he looks like an upstanding
open wide
tooth purchaser. And he says, I will give
anyone coming in saying they're a tooth purchaser is an evil scientist.
Regardless, he says right now, he says, I will give you, you have one chance. I will give you $1 million for any of those incisors. So you got 8 teeth to choose from.
Right.
The offer is now and you do it right now. What are you doing? How many teeth do you have left at the end of the day? He walks in, he says $1 million a tooth. You can sell me up to 8 of your teeth. How many teeth do you end up going home with? You can't replace
them.
You can't replace them.
All right. Oh, man. So, that's so much money.
It's $1 million a tooth. Al, how?
He's 8.
Are you 8? No.
I'm not 8.
How many are
Four.
You?
4.
6? Are you going just the top two left?
He's going for his four bottoms.
I think I'm going four bottoms.
I think
$4 million.
The only right answer here.
I think I'm at four bottoms.
It's either four or
the
zero.
The tops are off the limits.
Yes, the tops are off the limits. It's four or none. That's the right answer. Now, let me just put a little twist on that question. Man comes in. He says, I will give you $5 million per tooth. Only one of you gets it. Only one of you can claim this.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Yeah. I mean,
wait, I don't get it.
I'm saying the first person of the three of us will take Owl out of this. The three of us.
To sell just one tooth?
To sell one tooth. He gets it. So you might be, you might think, I don't want to do that. But if Mike grabs it, you're going to be like, oh no, he's got $5 million for just a tooth.
I don't care about the bottoms. We'd all sell the bottoms. The real question is, if he walked in right now and said, I'll give you $2 million a tooth, and he only wants to buy your top four. That's the real question.
Get out.
Would you sell? Because I think you got four top.
I'll give him one.
You'll give him one
for $2 million. Yep.
You'll give. That's what I would do. I'd give him one.
I don't know.
No.
I think I'd give him one, and then when someone says, "What the heck happened to you?" I'd say, "I'm rich."
Yeah.
And I upped it. It's $2 million a tooth. Top four.
Nope. Not on the tops.
Not
no
on
way.
The top.
No way.
You better.
Those are worth $2 million.
You better work on your closed lip smile.
Well, what's crazy is
you're never smiling in your picture again.
You'll never smile in your picture. Well, you will. Yeah, closed lip. But your functions will be fine. You'll be fine without one tooth eating. So this is 100% appearance.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and judgment.
Yes.
Due to appearance.
Yes, we are vain.
It's not just. It's not
so
just.
It's $2 million versus vanity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And you know it is.
When you say it like that, it's worse.
It is. It is. But then reverse it. You have a missing front tooth. Would you pay $2 million to get it replaced? And there's no way you would.
No way.
No, you wouldn't.
No way would you pay $2 million to
That's
to
just your
it.
Lot in life. This is why that's where
people.
That question was really interesting to me, because it's like.
But the difference here is you don't have $2 million. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're telling me I have $10 million and it cost me $2 million to put that tooth back, sure, then I might do it.
No, you would not.
If I had $1 billion,
I'd pay 20% of your cash.
You're not doing it.
Oh, man. We're silly people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. Do we have time for another one, or you want to move on? Maybe we move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Liar, liar. Pants on fire.
Oh, boy.
New rules edition.
All right, boys. Here's the deal.
Okay.
I took some time.
Yeah,
I talked to the Spitwads. Mm-hmm. They reminded me, Al, you're 19-1.
Mm. Mm.
And part of the fun of this segment is hearing you guys discuss these. I wanted to make it in a way where you couldn't discuss them and team up against me, but I think that would take the fun out of the segment.
Okay, all right.
So we're not changing the rules.
A man of honor.
Okay. We're
a
just
man
gonna,
of honor.
So we have a chance at a hot streak?
You do.
I cannot
wait.
Oh,
wow. No rule change.
Now,
so that's official. We're not changing any rules?
That's official.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, that was a
so
big
I've been
setup.
Worried this whole time.
Sounds
Things
like we're
that
gonna,
make you nervous.
Sounds like we're going to go 2-0 then.
You mean 2-19.
No. Say, based on the historical stats that we obviously forget, except for the most recent one,
yeah.
I think it'll be tough. So are those top three there my three to go with for our first one?
Yeah, yes, sir.
We got a formatting problem here.
No, that's fine. That's why I was just talking, letting them do it. All right. We're into Liar Liar. We're on a winning streak, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. I bet he spent some time
on
these lies.
He has never worked harder on this segment.
All right, statement number one. The second most expensive animal ever purchased was a rare lobster bought to be served as a meal to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for his...
The guy's named Salmon?
For his 37th birthday.
I didn't catch that, but okay.
The lobster cost $2.2 million and ended up giving the prince food poisoning. That's truth or lie number
okay.
one.
Okay, so just real quick. Most expensive was seafood to Prince Salmon, and he got sick from it. Okay,
I mean,
got it.
The world loves that.
Number two, the mushrooms in Mario games are based on a real species called the Amanita muscaria
yeah.
that, when eaten, make people feel like they're growing. That's a good maybe lie. And the third one,
no,
autosomal dominant compelling helio. I hate you.
Heliopathalmic
outburst syndrome or achu syndrome is characterized by uncontrollable sneezing in response to the sudden exposure of bright light or sunlight.
So hold up,
the achu.
Okay,
the achu.
That makes no sense to combine there, unless there's a band of scientists began the achu, like.
Of scientists who are in a comedy improv troupe.
Yes.
And they have decided.
That's what I'm saying.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, achu is one of those, what do you call it when the sound?
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia, like buzz or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I will say, and I don't know on this one, but
achu!
I feel like. A lot of times people start with the acronym they want and then they work backwards.
This is horse garbage. That one is my lie and I'm locking it in.
All right. I feel confident that the makers of the Mario game did not do enough research on the mushroom and say, oh, the reason we're putting this in the game is in honor of this real life mushroom. So I'm going to lock in the Mario one.
Mike?
Are
you Googling over there? What are you doing?
I was keeping an eye on that. Went to the keyboard.
I was trying to Google because I think it's Shigeru Miyamoto, I believe, is the creator of the Super Mario.
So you're doing some research.
I was trying to confirm his name because I was going to make a joke about him growing up in the 60s. And,
okay. All right.
I believe you got that right.
Thank you. Oh, man. The achu one seems just so...
I refer to it as... horse garbage.
Yeah, but is it such horse garbage?
I know. I can't believe that one. So you got to lock one in, Mike.
Crown Prince Salmon.
It's too it's too ridiculous.
So which one are you
going? I'm going with achu.
All right, two achus, one mushroom. Let's hear it, Al.
We're back, baby!
Oh, no!
Not like this.
20-1.
Prince Salmon, really? That's, you made up that lobster story?
That is correct.
There's achu
syndrome? That is really the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, but the story is made up.
Oh, this is the worst case scenario.
Sucks.
Busted.
this is awful. This show's the worst. Oh, man.
I knew it was too horse garbagey.
It was too horse garbagey.
So you're...
Those freaking scientists, man. Always up to no good.
They got such a great sense of humor.
I feel like you need to save the other two for the next round, the next time we go.
No.
We don't just play till we're out.
No, okay. Now we're playing for honor. Now we have to who's
you can compete against each other.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe the first question he got us.
I can believe it.
Yeah, I bet.
Prince Salmon.
Why all these difficult to pronounce words?
I think that's the bit.
Velara morbus.
Velara morbus is a neurological condition that causes people to feel like their feet never touch the ground. When they walk across the room, they feel as if they are flying.
Wow, that's fun.
That's how I feel after a long session on the toilet.
Okay, yep.
Go ahead and give us this next word.
Witzel sucked.
Witzel sucked is a neurological condition.
Busted.
That causes the sufferer to compulsively make inappropriate puns or jokes and tell pointless stories.
You had me until the pointless stories.
I'm not sure about that one. And then Capgras syndrome.
Which one is it?
Capgras.
Yeah.
Capgras syndrome is a neurological condition which leads a person to believe that a close acquaintance, usually a parent, partner, child, or sibling, has been replaced by an imposter.
That one feels real.
That one does feel
real.
This
was a really nice trap door in case we made it through round one.
Yeah, three neurological conditions. Yeah.
I'm going to lock in the Witzel sucked as being a lie.
It's like Witzel sucked.
It should be.
Yeah.
That's the one I think is a lie.
Is it Witzel? It looks German.
I don't think that there's a...
Witzel sucked.
I don't think that there's a compulsion... to tell inappropriate puns and pointless stories.
The pointless stories is where it goes.
Oh, you were
line
out until there?
Like, I feel like that seems like something that definitely happens. Of there's people who, like, you can't control.
The name
I
is
have
so
to,
weird.
I have to throw in an inappropriate, like, dark joke or something right here. You just can't, I can't stop myself. But that I'm with Andy. I'm locking that one in.
I'm going to go Valera Morbus. I think that
it's too Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, I
want that condition.
It would be pretty cool. But it doesn't sound like what it is.
That's how I feel about Witzelsucked.
I mean, what is Witzelsucked? Define Witzelsucked.
What's
then?
A capgrass?
All right, give us the truth.
All right, Jason, pull it out to an early second place.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Valera Morbus was the lie.
Dang it. Round three, President Andrew Jackson's pet parrot.
Just to be clear.
Yeah, no, I know.
Jason won that round.
Yes.
Okay.
You're in first place.
All right.
No, we're there. You're cool. Hilarious.
I thought maybe you thought I was saying that you two were in first place.
No, I was humoring you.
Thank you.
Round three, President Andrew Jackson's pet parrot had to be removed from his funeral for screeching profanity at the attendees. I have definitely heard that a bunch of times. I don't know if it's a lie.
About Andrew Jackson's parrot?
Yes, about Andrew Jackson's parrot. I think that one's true.
It's a nugget that's
I don't know
in
why
the
I'm telling you guys.
No, it's in the back of my head, too. If I feel like I've heard it.
In 2016, KFC released edible nail polish. It was offered in hot and spicy and original flavors.
Oh, man.
That
sounds like
not
KFC.
Putting it past them.
Wow. Why?
Home of the double down.
And the third one here. A French art collector once paid over $50,000 at an art auction for an invisible painting. He claims it is on display in his house, but will not disclose which wall it is on for the fear of theft. People are so dumb.
That has to be real because art people do the stupidest things.
And
I think the KFC one's the lie.
French.
Yeah.
That's my final answer.
Man, I really wanted to go with the President Andrew Jackson simply because the lie was the first one in round one and in round two. And I feel like he would say, like, oh, they would never think I would put the lie in all three spots.
Going
but you guys saying that you've heard this.
I don't
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say that Andrew Jackson's pet parrot didn't do it at the funeral.
All right, the lie was the French art collector.
Sweet, that's the one I pick.
Yeah, you didn't let Mike make his choice.
Oh,
but,
man. That
dang it.
I apologize.
I thought he locked it.
Life is meaningless right now anyways after that first round.
Well, that means we tied for a second, Mike.
Hey, all right.
Sorry, Andy.
I did it.
Great
Thanks,
job.
Shakalaka.
Oh, boy. Let's draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
I was thinking to myself, Mike hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure you hadn't locked in. But then you didn't kind of put up a fight at all.
Because I just got second place. Look, if you're quiet and you bide your time.
Sometimes it works out. All right, we are drafting things that make you nervous. Things that make you nervous. A million choices out there. With the first pick, I have to go with what I think is a common one. It is certainly the one that I notice the most and try to avoid, but it is certainly heights. Heights in general, up the top of a ladder. If I am, if you're at a canyon, a tourism type of thing, like heights in general, they make me very nervous. And it's grown with
fair.
Age. It's not gone the other way. As a kid, I was not afraid of heights.
Yeah, I had on my list being on a tall extended ladder, like,
yeah,
not necessarily a broad washing of all heights, but those things when I'm in those positions on like a not an A-frame ladder, but like the extent,
yeah, the shaky.
Oh man, I can't. I can't do it, man. I don't trust the device or myself.
Yeah, it's just heights in and of itself is just a really common fear, and it certainly makes me nervous when I think about having to. Yeah, a regular ladder, I'm good. But you get to 12-foot ladder or an extension ladder, that's a problem.
Yep, it's a good one. So for my first selection, things that make me nervous. Looking at Jason, what makes Jason nervous? All right, I'm going to go, speaking of speeding, I'm going to go when the police are driving behind you.
Oh, that is That's my 101.
Because it is the worst.
Isn't that so weird how you know?
Yes.
You're just, there's nothing that's going to happen to you.
I haven't done anything. I don't think I'm going to get pulled over.
You still think there's some reason you could get pulled over.
Absolutely.
100%. And then you have times where
are my tags right now?
Where it's like you're on a freeway and I'm in the carpool lane going literally the speed limit. And then I overtake a cop who's going slower than that. And you're like, what are the rules here? Because I'm not speeding.
I will not go faster than a cop if I'm near him.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
Because and they know.
It's
they control the road. They know what they're doing when they're going 63 in the 65.
If I'm driving on a freeway and I'm going, you know, 3 or 4 miles over speed limit, it's totally, totally normal. Not worried
at
all.
Margin.
I'm in the margin. I'm going with the flow of traffic. And as you're going, all of a sudden, off to the side, you see one.
No.
You see him out there ready to get someone. I am in full freakout mode. Yeah. I'm like, I wasn't speeding, but, I mean, you're just living in that rearview mirror now. Like, is he pulling out? Is he pulling out? Is he getting
I better
me?
Not show my brake lights, because then I'm obviously admitting that I'm admitting guilt.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's,
that's a good one. Police
terrifying.
Driving behind you.
And I once saw that the greatest driving safety device is a rear view mirror with police in it.
Just like a sticker
or
something.
That's what you need to do, man. Just put a sticker on that rear view mirror, and every time you look, you think there's a police officer behind you, you drive perfect.
That's funny.
You also, anxiety ages you 20 plus years.
Yes.
All right, Jason, what makes you nervous? Man. You've got two picks in a row.
Well, that was certainly going to be one of them.
Does two picks make you nervous?
That doesn't make me nervous. Honestly, I could say that my first two picks were going to be being on a tall extended ladder and police officers on the road.
Wow.
So, well done, gentlemen. I'm going to go my first one here. Any kind of it's not just this. It's really body wide, but just for the purpose of having specificity, chest pain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Is this a heart attack?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, my finger's twitching. It's really just any body thing.
Is this a stroke?
Yeah, like, as we get older, like, this is fun.
I love it, right?
It's fine.
I loved being at an age when you could eliminate them due to age.
Yeah.
There was no chance that it could be X, Y, or Z. And now,
when I take a deep breath, it kind of hurts.
Do I have a rib out?
Yeah.
Or am I
dying?
Do I need to go to the hospital now?
Yeah. That's
going to get better with age.
That's nerve wracking whenever the body is not doing what it should. And then, doggy. I got a large list here, and they're all about the same to me. I'm going to go with one that I have not personally experienced to the level. I've experienced it in very minor ways, but I've seen it, I've watched it. I'm always freaked out by it. I can see a situation in the future where I do experience it. I will be beyond freaked out about it. But it's basically swimming in the ocean.
Okay.
Like if you're swimming off a boat in the ocean, there's, you know what I mean? It's like, there's,
I have big
sharks and stuff out there. Like, I don't think if I was out in a boat in the ocean, I don't think I could jump in the water. Just jump in and.
Yeah, out there. Not on the beach.
No.
Not in the tide.
Exactly.
Like,
just swimming out in the ocean.
You want to know how I described that? It was the second thing I wrote down. Big open water.
Yeah.
Just when you don't know what's under you, and it's dark and deep, that is terrifying.
You have no idea. You could be jumping on a shark. You know,
so the idea of swimming in the ocean makes you nervous.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's
part
terrifying.
That would make me nervous as well.
Like, being a taller fella, there are rarely pools where you can like be full on just kicking your legs without any kind of crouched position. I mean, like, when I'm in a pool, I'm always my feet are always pulled up at least a little bit, because otherwise you're going to kick the bottom of the pool. And it's the same mostly in the beach situation, because you know there's rocks and coral and all these things that are going to cut you up. When you get into the water where you can just fully kick and you look down, and
you're making me nervous.
And you don't know how far down the ground is, and like you can hold your breath and try and go touch the ground and maybe not make it. It is a freaky, freaky sensation.
Yeah.
Which like I mean, I assume it's just because you're like, I'm a human.
Yeah, you're that's big.
Like I should not be in the water this deep. But yeah, I agree. It there is something about it that is there. It's part magical and part terrifying.
It's like go out on the Saharan Desert, right? You're out there, and there's lions somewhere nearby. Okay.
Okay.
Let's say there is one, and you could see a lion, you could see a cheetah, you could see whatever could kill you, right?
Well, the Sahara is a different environment. Okay.
Yeah. No, I got you.
And you would not get out of your car and go on land.
Yeah, if you're on a safari, yes.
Now pretend that they were all invisible. You getting out of that car?
Well, some of them are in the grass. So,
yeah, I mean, like that's what people do on the ocean.
Yeah, no, that it's a good answer. And I was trying to just let things come to me on this. Just like, what was my first thought? And in big open water, like you've been out on a lake that's big enough and deep enough, you feel weird there too. And that's not even, there aren't even sharks there. It's just
those are monsters.
Oh, yeah. The Loch Ness monster.
That's actually true. When we go boating on our local lake here, I swim, but I'm always nervous. Always. Yeah, I don't want nothing touching my leg.
It's a little different. Yeah. Okay. Where are we? Back to Mike?
We're back to me.
The police are driving behind you. You're feeling a little nervous. What's your next pick?
Apparently, I'm just afraid of the man because this is you got to do it every single year. Got to pay those taxes.
Really?
And
always a little nervous.
They freak me out.
Unbelievable.
Because, well, you're like one of the fellas, like, you could do your own taxes, I imagine.
Sure.
Like, I cannot because the forms.
So it's like a mysterious open water of potential penalties.
It's a completely different language. And all I go to a person and I just trust that this person knows what they're doing.
You're not going
to
get audited.
And then I'm not going to get a letter later from the IRS. It's like, we're going to need to look into some things. You're like, I don't have the receipts. I don't.
Oh, I know.
I don't have the organizational skills that I can prove all of these things. And I'm like,
the IRS is listening right now.
Look, I mean,
what's your social, Mike?
Am I supposed to give that to you right now?
Yes.
But it's like, if I'm skirting any rule, I don't like, I believe I am doing it completely my fair share. But it still freaks me out, the idea that you could get a letter in the mail that says you didn't do it right, and now you need to prove all these things. And you're like, I can't. I'm like, how am I possibly going to prove all of these things?
That's interesting.
So you are
you are
afraid of getting in trouble from people who have power.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The all man. Right.
This is good to know.
Yeah.
All right. I had heights. Afraid of climbing up that tall ladder as my first pick. My second pick, when I think about getting nervous, genuinely, I am a sports fan. And
I feel
the nerves at the end of sporting events.
I didn't even think about that.
I mean, genuinely, if you wanted to tell me, how can you guarantee you can get your heart beating really fast in a perceptible way where if you're wearing a halter monitor, your doctor's going to call you? It is 100% the end of a sporting game that I care about. For the team that I care about. I remember, Jason, we were at the NBA Finals, and Jason Moore was crouched in a position that you could only describe as abject terror / fear.
Fetal.
Yeah, fetal. I mean, this was the nerves. I mean, sporting events has always done that to me. I've always been like, why is my heart beating so fast? It's like mind, body, fandom, football.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I think it's not on my list because I didn't really think of nerves.
It's a good nervous.
Right. It's nervous excitement.
It's like versus, going to a horror movie.
Yeah, versus nervous go to jail.
The other thing that makes me nervous, a little from left field here, but it popped into my head, so I'm going to go with it. I'm a dad. I have three kids. I've been through the baby phase for three kids. No problems. But if you hand me your baby, it's a whole different ball game. Because it ain't mine.
Yes. Yes.
And I've already forgotten how to hold them. And it's your baby. And the thought of doing anything to hurt another person's baby, I am an awkward, nervous mess holding somebody else's baby. Funny. So that one popped into my head and it made me laugh.
One of my best friends recently had their first child. And I went over, got just incredibly sweet baby. And they're like, you want to hold him? And I'm like, yes. And then I immediately sat down. Because I'm like, I
laid down on the bed.
I mean, I don't know that I've held a baby since.
And you have three.
Since my youngest.
You have three kids, yeah.
Who just turned 9. And I'm like, I don't have these skills anymore, but I want to see your fun new cute baby. And there is a little bit of panic of inside of like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
It's so weird, especially having been through it with your own kids, and certainly was nervous the beginning of having your own kids. But the idea of being handed somebody's baby was I think a funny one.
That's very funny. I'm going. Okay. So number three here.
Yeah, which person in power is
going
to make you sweat now, Mike?
This one is not the man.
Your parents'
lawyers.
This one is not the man. This is my own worst enemy, being myself. So this is just, I mean, you have to kind of be in a specific place, but it's the rumbly and the tumbly.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no bathroom that you are aware of.
Gotta go.
And
gotta go.
Like having, you know, as we say on the show, redlined, where you've gotten to the brink of disaster on too many occasions, it is now a panic-inducing effect for me. Where if like, because we're at this age, you're in tune with your body. You know when there's certain movements and sounds that happen inside. You're like, that's the timer, and you can use.
This is why you need your boot chute.
Yes, 100%. That would be fantastic if I could get that rearranged. But if like you're in a car ride an interstate drive and you feel it go off and you're like, oh, you just the alarms are going off and it doesn't even need to be that extreme for me anymore. It's just when I feel it go off and I know that I'm not close to a bathroom, the palms start getting a little bit sweaty.
That's pretty funny. All right, Jason, you get to close out your picks.
All right.
Chest pains and swimming in the open ocean.
Yeah, I think those are two that are common to a lot of people that would get nervous in those situations. These next two are Jason specials. These are things that I'm sure that I'm not alone, but these are not going to show up on people's lists, okay. I don't think. The first one is opening gifts in front of the gift givers.
Oh, that is brutal.
I hate it, man. I hate it. I get so nervous because, like,
there is expectations.
Can I dig in here?
Can I ask a question after you explain?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. So I don't like things. Like, I don't really care for many things. The things I do like, I get myself. And so, like, I just, there most things that people are going to get me, I just don't care. And I totally appreciate the giving of a gift, the fact that you went and found it, thought about me. Like, I understand all that. I just don't actually care about whatever this thing is going to be. I don't want it. I don't want you to give me a gift. I don't ask for gifts. I tell people I don't want gifts. And I just hate the fear of disappointing them. I'm going to put on a happy face. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to say, oh, no, really, this, you know, all that jazz. But I'm so afraid they could see through me. I'm so afraid they could be like, he does not care about that. And you know what? You're right. I don't. So I get so nervous. And I mean, I love so much not getting gifts.
I was going to ask you, does this extend all the way down to, like, you know, your wife? She's got a heart of giving.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the texts I've ever received from your wife in my life, at least 90% of them have been, do you think Jason would like this? What, you know, it's something about a gift she's thought to get you.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, she loves me and she wants to do well and she knows my proclivity for fear of opening gifts and whatnot.
That
so.
Probably makes it more fun for her.
Yeah. And it's really funny, too, because the gifts that I end up really liking a lot are always just unexpected. Like, I think the best gift I've received in the last, as long as I can remember, last Christmas, my daughter got me these little cleaning wipes for my glasses. Oh, dude, I love them. They're incredible. Practicality. All right, my other one. So I need one more thing that makes me nervous, and this is, I'm sure a lot of people are like this. I would imagine, Mike, you are not very much like this because we just talked in the studio today. You have such a good memory. You have such a good ability to remember things. But when I go to a place or I'm in a situation where I know I'm supposed to know this person and at least know this person's name, oh my goodness, I hate it because I don't remember you. And I don't remember your name. And I know that I'm a jerk and I'm so, so, so sorry. But please, I don't want to be in that situation. It's
stressful.
It's how my brain don't work. I'm so sorry.
My memory is excellent for a lot of things. Dates and names are not one of them. And so I'm with you. Like,
nothing more awkward.
The faces, but I don't know the names, and you just become very adept at listening to people's conversations or finding someone else to try and tip you off who someone's name is.
I get nervous. Like
it's the worst.
If I go,
there you are.
It's you again.
The worst time was, a while ago when I went to a friend from high school's wedding, and then I'm around a bunch of people going to whatever year reunion it is.
Nightmare for you?
I want to go. Like, that seems like fun.
Oh, that sounds awful.
But I don't want to go. I don't actually want to go. Like, it seems fun in a vacuum, except it seems awful for me because I won't remember.
You don't want to study your yearbook?
That's
why they give name tags to those events.
Yeah, but that's
to try to save you.
Not good enough.
But they don't want your eyes looking at that.
Frank,
of course. All right, that's a good one. And that one I've seen you deal with.
Yeah, you know me from high school. So
I've got some texts from Jason going, please tell me his wife's name or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, back to you. Final pick, what makes you nervous?
All right, so this is a funny one. I get it for the purpose of the game. We can maybe count only one of these, but I feel like it has to come with a combo because it's just so ridiculous. So part one is when my wife doesn't answer the phone.
Oh, I know
you're going. Which I've talked about this before. And the other part is when my wife calls me because
either one
sets off a panic alarm.
That's an anxiety thing.
When I call my wife and she doesn't answer, she has been kidnapped. And
right.
And
or her car is greened off a cliff.
Yes, she is perished. She's been abducted. She's gone. Yeah. Basically, yeah. I'll never speak to my wife again. She has left. And if she calls me, that means that someone else is no more.
Yeah.
Like my parents are gone. My son's wrong with my kids.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get a text message. If I get a phone call,
we have moved to the stage.
Something is wrong.
Something is wrong.
We have moved to the stage where if my parents call me.
Oh, no.
If either parent calls, the first thing I say, and they laugh at it now, is everything all right?
Yeah.
The first thing is,
that when my wife calls and like during, if I'm at work.
A non-normal time.
And she has gotten it. She's tried to help me. She'll text and say, hey, are you busy? Not an emergency.
Yeah.
And even still, immediately I'm calling.
Probably pretty serious.
What's going on? Right? Everything's okay? Everything's all right?
Who lost a leg?
Wow. Yeah, no, I get it. And it is weirder now because phone calls are less common. So the phone call breaks through as like a...
emergency.
Inherently
yes.
More important thing.
Which telemarketers need to understand.
That's fair.
When my phone rings.
My blood pressure goes up. All right, my final pick. Got a few more on the list. I'm going to go with surgery.
Okay. Yeah, that's
surgery
fair.
Slash like medical procedures. Things where you are, once again, not unlike your taxes, you're trusting another person you barely know to perform something on your body when you have no say, no control. You just get to wake up later You know, I don't, it can kind of go to the dental world too, because sometimes, you know, if you get your wisdom teeth out, they put you under, you're in a different state. Sometimes it can be a test, right? They put you in twilight sleep or something. Just those things make people nervous in general, and they certainly make me nervous.
So are you more nervous of the procedure like itself, or are you more nervous of going under and being completely...
More nervous of like not recovery, not dealing with any of that. More nervous of like, I have no control of this situation. So I'm handing it off. Something could go wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know...
I'm the opposite. I'm like, if I've got to get something, if I've got to have a dental job done, I'm worried about the procedure. Put me under. Just like put my life in your hands. That's fine. Help me not remember it. So long as...
You wouldn't be nervous if, let's say that has happened and you're getting driven in to do that, you'd be fine.
Yeah, totally fine. If I know that you're going to put me under, I'm like... That's
They're fine. Like, sir, we're going to reorient your mouth in a vertical position. When you wake up, you will have a vertical mouth.
Have you had anywhere you're not put under, like just... Like a mole removed or any of... Now, do you watch?
No.
Or do you look away?
No, I can't watch anything done to my own body.
Okay.
Because I get my body responds
to it. You get the reaction.
I get vagal response. But I don't mind that if I'm fully of full mind. I actually like, even though it's more painful, it's something about the control, giving up that control of, not that I'm controlling the procedure anyway, but just that I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's as a dad or whatever, like, you know, worst case scenario, when you think about that, you're like, do I need to write letters to my kids today? You know, like,
right. I need to get my affairs in order,
which is funny. So that'll do it. My other in contention.
Oh, bees.
Oh, you said bees make you nervous. Yeah. The fear / nervous is very close. Horror movies.
Okay.
The nervousness of going. Right. That's why I hate them. Nausea in general. Any form of nausea.
Oh, yeah.
You know, is this leading somewhere?
Oh,
are we going on? Is this going to a town I don't want to live in? You know? And then I said the holding other people's babies, roller coasters, and then the unknown in general.
Just the unknown
makes me nervous.
I had airplanes, which there's some nausea related stuff in there, and being late.
Yeah, I understand that.
I do not like it.
I've got being the passenger seat driver, because I'm never the passenger seat driver. The phrase, we need to talk.
Oh, that's the worst.
I mean,
there's nothing.
Just start talking to me, bro. Why are you making me so nervous?
Because that is the phrase that is preparing you. That's, you're not going to like what I have to say.
Yeah. Having,
we need to talk. I'm
that's
giving you $3,000. That's
no one ever says
that. That's never happened.
No. Having the scat always makes me very nervous. That was on my list.
That is so true.
And then my favorite one, we actually talked about this before the show, so I didn't draft it, but
yes.
Opening a can of biscuits. if you know what we're talking about, then you know it. You peel off that paper on the outside wrapper, and all of a sudden...
Owl said as soon as you unwrap it, is you have a live grenade in your hand at any moment.
That biscuit's going to pop.
Owl, anything that makes you nervous that we didn't mention today?
You covered all the stuff that I had on my short list.
Okay. Not you didn't say like losing a liar. That doesn't make you nervous?
Not anymore.
What did we learn today?
I learned that scientists are even more ridiculous than I have thought they were with the Achu system or syndrome.
I learned that Al has not lost a step. We thought maybe he would fold, collapse into
himself.
He regrouped and he brought some real lies today to the show.
And I learned that there is a lot of flawed logic in money I would not take to lose my tooth and not pay to have a tooth back in place.
The tooth goblin. I'll give you $2 million.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks for laughing with us.
Hey, tell your friends about the podcast, please. Your friends and your family, they'll like the show. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.